that flows by the courtyard. Sand wooden houses with shutters torn down. There lives a girl everybody calls Patches. Patches, my darling, of Oceanie Town.
That pretty song gave Dickie Lee his first 15 minutes of being famous. He had several 15 minutes of fame over his illustrious career. I'm Ronnie Allen, and I have Dickie Lee on the phone right now.
Hey, Ronnie, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, and it is a pleasure to be talking to you because I've enjoyed your recordings for so many years, and I didn't realize until I started doing research for this show that when we talk about Patches, and I saw Linda yesterday, and Lori, that's only a part of your story.
Yeah, I've got a real diversified career, I guess.
Yep.
Well, I went a lot of directions.
You sure did. You were born in Memphis, Tennessee.
Right.
And you are not just a pop singer and pop songwriter, but also a country singer and a country songwriter. So you wore a lot of hats.
Yeah, I do. I'm a little bit of everything.
But you are best known by many people for two teenage tragedy songs, namely Patches and Lori.
Yeah, I had a few of the death songs, you know.
The first record that you made was called Dream Boy. Now, how did that come about?
Well, actually, I was a kid in school in Memphis, Tennessee, and there was a really hot disc jockey by the name of Dewey Phillips who had a show on it every night from 9 to 12, and every kid in Memphis listened to him, black and white. And I had written a couple of songs, and I just went up to the radio station one night, and I don't know how I did it, but somehow I got in to see him, and he actually listened to the songs, and he said, you know, those are pretty good. He said, why don't you put a group together and come back? And I think much to his surprise, I did. You know, like a couple of months later, I was back, and I had a little group. He listened to them again, and we ended up recording the songs right there in the radio station. Dewey, the disc jockey, he knew somebody was on a little label called Tampa Records out of Hollywood, California. And we put the record out, and it became a Mid-South territorial hit.
Is this the song that you wrote, by the way?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I love you.
That came out what year?
Came out, I think, 1957.
On the Tampa label?
On the Tampa label.
And after that, the Tampa label went south?
Yeah, as far as I know.
But you have a lot bigger claims to fame than that. And let's get to that first claim to fame. The recording called Patches. What's the story behind that one?
I had a few more records with Sun before Patches. I had about four or five records before I had a really national hit. And there's a guy named Jack Clement who recorded my songs at Sun Records. And he later went to RCA and he was working for Chet Atkins. And he would screen songs for Chet. And when he heard this song, it came in from New York, and he thought it would be a good song for me. Mm-hmm. Actually, he thought it would be a good song for my friend Alan, who we were just talking about.
And Alan
really didn't like the song that much, and he played it for me, and I love the song. So we recorded it.
It's kind of like a Romeo and Juliet song, isn't it?
Modern-day Romeo and Juliet, exactly.
And that caused a little bit of problems with some radio stations. Now, some radio stations did not outright ban the recording, but they would eliminate the ending, believe it or not. I remember that.
Yeah, now, you know what? You made me aware of that. I never heard any of those weird endings, but I know a lot of the stations, some of them didn't play it. In fact, when that record was released, it was probably out, maybe 4 months before it really hit. You know, I'd forgotten about the record as far as thinking, well, you know, that record's over, nothing's going to happen. But my manager who lived in Beaumont, Texas, he kept pecking away at these guys and saying, play this record, it's a hit. And finally, he got this little station in Beaumont, Texas to play it. And then from that one station, their parent station, KNUZ in Houston, picked it up, big station. And from there, it just went crazy.
Incidentally, the line that I remember they took out of the song is the line that indicates, in fact, it was a double suicide. The line, it may not be right, but I'll join you tonight.
Yeah.
So all they had to do is just remove that line. Of course, it changes the whole song.
Right.
Anyway, most stations did play it in its entirety. It became a top 10 hit, and we're going to listen to it right now. This is Dickie Lee and Patches.
Close by the courtyard stand wooden houses with shutters torn down. There lives a girl everybody calls Patches. Patches, my darling, of Oceany Town. We plan to marry when June brought the summer. I couldn't wait to make Patches my bride. Now I don't see how that ever can happen. My folks say no, and my heart breaks inside. As I think of that shanty and pretty Patches there watching the door, she doesn't know that I can't come to see her. Patches must think that I love her no more. I hear a name Patches was found floating face down in that dirty old river that flows by the coal yards in Old Shady Town. Patches, oh, what can I do? I swear I'll always love you. It may not be right,
but I'll join you tonight. Patches, I'm coming to you.
That was Patches. Not to be confused with a song called Patches that came out years later by a gentleman named Clarence Carter, but both good songs, totally different. I want to ask you something. Did you have any vocal training?
Well, let's see. Actually, I was in my high school course for a little while until I got kicked out. You know, I was one of those little high school troublemakers. In fact, we had this real straight, square guy teaching course. Mr. Tuggle was his name, in fact. And I remember I was going to sneak out one day before class started, and he was coming in, so we would have these, not we wouldn't have desks, we would have sofas and chairs we'd sit around in. So I got under all the cushions under this sofa. He came in and sat down on top of me, you know. And I jumped out from underneath the thing, scared him to death, and he said, "You're out of here." That was my high school chorus career.
Mr. Tuggle?
Lasted about 4 days, yeah, Mr. Tuggle.
But at any rate, Patches was a pretty ballad. And you could have followed it up with the Son of Patches, I guess, but you chose to do something totally different, which was I Saw Linda Yesterday.
I didn't want to do a Son of Patches, and my friend Alan and I, we wrote that song, I Saw Linda Yesterday, and when we were writing the song, we were writing another ballad called I Saw Her Yesterday, and we were trying to write a song for George Jones, country singer. And while we were doing this, it dawned on us, they said, we've got to get another record ready for Dickie Lee. And so we got to thinking about it, and I thought, I don't want to come out with another ballad after a song as sad as that. I don't want to get in that really sad sack groove. So what we did, we took I Saw Her Yesterday and changed it to I Saw Linda Yesterday and up-tempoed it.
You just came up with the name Linda just out of the air. It was not...
Yeah, because it was kind of a hard-sounding name. I Saw Linda Yesterday, and it just worked really well with the song.
When I listen to this song, I think of some of the Dion recordings, like Run Around Sue and The Wanderer. It has that same sort of happy feel. Do you think you were inspired a little bit?
Well, Dion was definitely a big influence on me. I loved everything he did. I'm sure there's a little Dion in there.
Dum diddly dum diddly, Dicky Dion, Dicky dum diddly dum diddly. Whatever.
The lyric, it's really funny, Ronnie, because somebody told me one night that they played a show with Dion somewhere, and he said, "Tonight I'm Dickie Lee," and he did I Saw Linda Yesterday.
Great song, though.
I heard a great story when it was in People magazine one time, Ronnie. Andy Warhol, the artist, played that song all night long one time while he was painting, trying to figure out the hidden meaning to it.
Is there a hidden meaning?
No. If it was, he never told me.
Oh, okay. Andy Warhol, the man that made the statement that everybody is famous for 15 minutes. But based on your career, you've been famous actually at least for an hour. When I listen to that recording, I hear the organ sound. Is there any famous organist that's playing that?
Yep, an old musician, Bill Justice, who had a smash hit called Raunchy.
A saxophone player, but
yeah,
he was playing...
That was his real instrument.
But
he played everything.
Because I think that organ makes it sound a little bit different from the Dion recordings.
Yeah, it does, really, a little bit, yeah.
Right now, we're going to get to the song that probably, of all the recordings that you've made, it may not have been the highest charting one, although it was a big hit, but I think that it is definitely the one that received the most discussion. A lot of it is around Halloween time. A very, very unusual song called Laurie. What is the strange story behind that one?
Well, first of all, I was a big horror story freak and a ghost story guy, and we were riding one night, a few friends of mine, and one of the guys, his name is Mitt Addington, he was a professor of psychology at Memphis State University, and he was kind of an amateur songwriter, and we were talking, and I was telling him how much I love ghost stories, and I thought, you know, I wonder what it would be like to have a ghost story on record. And, you know, we just kind of laughed about it. And, I don't know, a couple of weeks later, Mitt shows up and he says, hey, he said, you know, you're talking about that ghost story idea. He said, I may have a song for you. So Mitt actually, he met this little girl. She was about 15 years old somehow. I don't know if she had some class with him or what. But she told him about this folk story, you know, a ghost story about a girl. And he took the old story and he wrote a song out of it. We started playing with it and thought, well, you know, this is pretty neat. So anyway, to make a long story short, we recorded the song, not knowing if we'd do anything with it because we weren't sure how it was going to come off. But when we finished, we felt pretty good. The musicians really liked it. And so we eventually released it, and it turned out to be a pretty big hit for me. It was a well-written song, the way he handled it. In fact, I wish I'd written it, but I thought he did a great job with it.
And around Halloween, I guess this gets the greatest play.
I think Halloween keeps that song going.
Last night at the dance, I met Laurie. So lovely and warm, an angel of a girl. Last night I fell in love. Today, a strange horse drew
about strange things. I'm Ronnie Allen. I'm here with Dickie Lee, and that is a strange song indeed. This one is unusual. It's a sad song. Most of the songs we played tonight are sad songs.
Well, yeah, so but I'm really not quite as sad as all these songs.
I hope not. But this particular song, Rocky, is unusual. It is a tearjerker, but it's up-tempo.
Right, yeah, you do those sad ballads, so you need to do some sad up-tempo things to go along with them, of course.
What is the story with Rocky? It has nothing to do with Sylvester Stallone or Rocky Balboa.
No, it doesn't. There was another record of Rocky by a guy named Austin Roberts.
I remember that, yes.
And he had a pop version of it. Mine was country at the time when we came out with it, but we had never heard Austin's record, and his record came out and nothing happened with it, and then their publisher, they sent us the song, and I really loved the song when I heard it, and we recorded it, and the guitar player, Reggie Young, who was on the session, he said, man, he said, I've done this song before. He said, I did this song with Austin Roberts, and we didn't even know it had been done before. We got the song done and decided we wanted to release it. We found out there had been another record on it, but, you know, it just didn't make it, and they released our song, and it just took off country, and it took off the other label. They re-released the Austin Roberts song, Pop. Then it made it, too.
This was a number one country hit for you, Dickie.
Yeah.
And it was a big pop record for Austin Roberts as well. And we're going to listen to it right now. This is Dickie Lee and an up-tempo tearjerker called Rocky.
You're
Here's a record that should have been a contender, and it was. Boy, it was a big hit, number one country hit for Dickie Lee, and also a big hit on the pop chart for Austin Roberts. And you and Austin have, over the years, become very good friends.
Yeah, we really have.
We have one more recording to play, and before we play it, I want to point out that you not only had three major pop hits, but you had something like 30 charted records on the country chart.
I had a few.
About 30, including the number one hit song called Rocky. You also had, I believe, a top three recording called 9,999,999 Tears.
Yeah, that song's easier to sing than it is to say.
Yeah. Why don't you just make it 10 million tears? Just add a tear. Just make it a lot easier to sing that. But not only have you been a successful country music recording artist, but you have been a super successful songwriter. You wrote a classic country song, which we're going to get to close the show. But before we get to that, can I acknowledge just a few others that you wrote? You wrote Dave and Sugar's record of The Door Is Always Open, number one hit for Dave and Sugar. You wrote one for Reba McEntire. What was the one for Reba that you wrote?
The First Time I've Thought About Leaving.
And George Strait.
Let's Fall to Pieces Together.
Charlie Pride.
They had a number one record with Charlie Pride, I'll Be Leaving Alone.
And that's just a little sampling of the songs that you've written as a country music songwriter. Let me just say I want to thank you, Dickie, for taking the time to do this. This has been very, very special to me.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it. And I just want to say hi to all your listeners out there and hope they enjoy it.
We're going to close with a song that has been recorded by over 400 different recording acts. It is a song that has taken on a life of its own. It's been recorded as a male song under the title of She Thinks I Still Care. Ann Murray took it to number one on the country chart. She changed it to He Thinks I Still Care. And even Elvis Presley recorded this. And in fact, George Jones recently did it again, right?
Right. It's in Dina Carter's new CD, and he's doing a duet with her.
And you wrote this song all by yourself?
Yep, except I had a friend of mine who wrote one line, but he sold my line back to me later on.
Elvis Presley closing off with Dickie Lee's composition called She Thinks I Still Care.
Just because I asked a friend about her, just because I spoke her name somewhere, just because I rang her number by mistake. And just because I haunt the same old places, where the memory how I linger everywhere, just because I'm not the happy guy you to be. Lord, you know she thinks I still care. a friend about her. You know, just because I spoke her name somewhere, just because, Lord, I saw her and went to pieces. Lord, you know she thinks I love still care.
Well, that's the show. Now we have a couple of bonus tracks. Here's The Girl from Peyton Place. By Dickie now. This one is called 9,999,999 Tears. I said it and I'm glad.
Got don't know if I'll be